Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We have been just looking into God's Word about Scripture that shares the word hope, or just Bible verses that provide hope for us. I've been sharing ones that have blessed me throughout my lifetime, just something that it's probably been almost 3 years since I've done something like this. But don't really have a theme today. I'm just going to God's Word and sharing Bible verses that I think will bless you. And the one I'm going to start with today, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. I can remember my hero, Wayne Smith, sharing this verse back in the 1980s when I was in college. And this was in his Playing Hurt sermon, and just been one that I've never forgotten now over the past hard to believe, but been over 30 years now. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, "We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed." Oh, man. Such good stuff there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. I mean, that's where you're feeling today, man. You're like, you know what? I feel like I'm being crushed, but you know what? I'm not forsaken. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not driven to despair. I mean, friends, people in the Bible, they can relate to what we're going through. This is not new, the trials and tribulations. And that's why I love reading God's Word. One, it's God's love letter to you and to me. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is simply God's love letter to us and how He is pursuing a personal relationship with you and with me. And I love that just the right time that He speaks to me and I hear what I need to hear to give me hope for another day. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Just during COVID, I heard this in a message, and it really, really spoke to me in my quiet time. And maybe somebody today needs to hear this if you're going in kind of a what I like to call walking through a valley, a deep valley where you're just wondering, God, how are you going to provide? What are you going to do to help me to profit from this challenging season of life? In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, 18, it says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no produce, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." You know, Red, that's a way of saying economically, things are really, really bad back 2,000 years ago when this was written. The fig tree's not blossoming. That was one of the big items back there. And having been to Israel about a year and a half ago, I can remember that. Nor fruit beyond the vines. Obviously another way people obviously had to eat, but also farmers, that's how they produced money to live on. The produce of the olive field, olive trees, oh my goodness, everywhere there. And talked about the fields yield no food. The flock will be cut off from the fold. It means the animals are not, I mean, they're struggling. And there's no herd in the stalls. Yet, it says, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." And I remember hearing that verse in a sermon that somebody shared. I don't remember which one. I think it may have been Rick Warren, but it just really, really spoke to me because that's what he's talking about during COVID, that, you know, you may be concerned about your job, your finances, economics, what's going to happen here. But this is what was happening, like a COVID-type famine back when this was written in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. So know that these challenging seasons of life, especially economically, friends, they're not new and that God is faithful. But the thing I would ask you today, if you put God first in your finances, ouch, now you've gone to meddling, Greg. But you know, friends, I believe that God owns it all, and he entrusts us to be good stewards with it. And I'm so thankful he's such a generous God that he only asked for a tenth. We call it the tithe. And so basically out of every $10 that you're blessed to make, you get to keep nine of them. It's a pretty good deal, right? And I'm thankful I had a mom that modeled that. And then my dad became a Christian around the age of 50, but he supported my mom doing that. And both of them are just very generous people. And I believe that's why the Lord's blessed the Horn family, because of standing on my mom and dad's shoulders and their generosity and my mom being a tither. And, you know, friends, just God does it. And I want to encourage you to tithe to whatever church you're involved in. And if you're not, try it, Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, that your barns will overflow. And, in fact, it even dares you to try to do it and see if he will not just bless you. And you don't do it to get a blessing, Lord. You do it because you love the Lord and you want to honor him with your finances. But it's amazing, friends, that you do get blessed by doing it. And I am a testimony to that. Doesn't mean I haven't had tough times. You know about the flood, bankruptcy, and divorce back in 2001. But you know what, friends? I still had shelter. I still have food to eat. Yes, I had to start over again. I went from having a nice home to a one-bedroom apartment and driving a six-year-old car that, you know, was looking rough. But you know what? I had transportation. I had food. I had shelter. And thankful that car lasted me another 4 years and didn't have a car payment. So I got 10 years out of it. So I definitely got my money's worth. And yet, friends, maybe today the reason that you're struggling is you're not putting God first in your finances. And maybe you say, well, Greg, I can't afford to tithe. Well, start somewhere. $5, $10, $20. And just see, just trust God, friends. I promise you, you can't outgive God. There's just no way. You cannot outgive him. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2 says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Oh, friends, can I get a witness today? My goodness, that is a strong word. Somebody listening today, you needed to hear that. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. I mean, friends, I can relate to that. Going through the flood, I know about those waters, okay? Yet it said it won't overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, some of you right now, you feel like, man, my life, I feel like I'm on fire. I feel like I've got people just throwing darts at me with fire on them everywhere. Work, home, friendships, my health. I mean, my car. I mean, it just seems like everywhere I turn around, there's a fire just trying to consume me. But I love that last part of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. It says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Doesn't mean it may not get a little hot. It's a little hot up in here, okay? No, it's not that, friends. It's not saying it won't get hot. It won't get hard. I mean, you know, hey, just celebrated Easter, and yet, friends, Jesus, what he went through. He knows about pain, knows about suffering. But because he loved you and he loved me, he was willing to endure the cross and the shame that went with it. But man, maybe somebody today, you need to read Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, and write that on post-it note. Let that be your verses for this week. Oh, Isaiah 43, 19. What a great chapter Isaiah 43 is. It says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, friends, I love when God says, hey, I got you. I'm with you. I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Hey, I will make a way in the wilderness that you feel like you're just wandering around in the wilderness, don't know how to get out of the forest. This wilderness seems like it's never going to end, and yet God is saying, I will make a way in whatever wilderness you're in. And even in the desert, when things seem barren and dry, you know what? I will make a river in the desert. And friends, you can only experience it by keeping your eyes on Jesus. And that's why reading God's word is so important. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, such a powerful, powerful verse. I love Micah chapter 7, verse 7. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Oh, I love that. Did you hear that, friends? He says, my God will hear me. Friends, God wants to listen to you today. But the only way he can listen is by you spending time with him. And we're going to be done here in a little over 3 minutes. And so I want to encourage you, when we're done here, just spend some time, you and God. Talk to him about what's going on in your life. But also listen to him, friends, because he wants to speak to you. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. So thankful for that, that God's word we can always stand on. Oh, I love the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. For one thing I do. Doesn't say 10 things I do, 5 things I do. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I love that, friends. He says, straining to what lies ahead. Straining forward to what lies ahead. Friends, it's not easy to move forward. The enemy loves to keep you stuck. You know that, right? I'm laughing because it took me a while to realize that. I'm a little slow sometimes, okay? Anybody else besides me, a little slow sometimes? You know, sometimes to move forward, friends, you got to fight. I was making the joke earlier this week. I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday's program, but the old song by the Beastie Boys back in the 80s when I was in college that you got to fight for your right to party. Well, to move forward, you got to fight for that right. The enemy does not want you to move forward, friends. He is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a thief. He wants to keep you going backwards. He wants to keep you stuck. So I love that Paul, very detailed, says, I'm straining forward. He said he's forgetting what lies behind in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm forgetting what lies behind. In other words, I threw away the rearview mirror. I'm not looking back in the past anymore. You know, friends, some of you today, you need to throw the rearview mirror away. Paul's talking to you. He is. I know it. Somebody listening today, you need to hear that. Paul says, you got to throw the rearview mirror away because you need to forget what lies behind. In other words, what was in the past, and you got to strain forward to what lies ahead. You got to focus. You got to be intentional, friends. God wants to help you, and he'll meet you on the other side. He'll go with you. He'll hold your hand. But you have to choose to be intentional today to say, I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. I want the blessing that God has for me. And I got to quit listening to the lies of the enemy. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I love the last part of Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, he's talking about, he says, I press toward the goal. Friends, that is the goal for all of us, to press toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, he wants that for all of us. But like Paul, we got to forget what's in the past, and we got to strain forward to what lies ahead and press toward the goal of the price upward of the call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.